May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you once again for your kindness that you've shown me over the last couple of weeks upon the 25th anniversary of my ordination. Over the last two Sundays, I've been touched by all the cards and the artistic wall hangings, the kids' sermon, the cake, your good wishes. And congratulations to you, whatever your number is, for the years you have served Jesus along your baptismal journey. May God bless all of us as we're honored to serve Jesus together with continued creativity and passion and wisdom and joy. Thank you again. The lectionary has given us two timely topics to talk about: summer gardens, new school clothes. So let's start with the garden. How many of you had a go at it? Maybe it was just one pot of flowers or tomatoes on the deck to maybe a sizable space in your backyard this summer. Anybody give it a go? A little bit? Well, not, okay, all right. How many people think they have learned something about gardening over the years? Trial and error? Yeah, okay. It matters, doesn't it? In terms of frequency of water, where we position the plants for the sun's light, application of fertilizer, pest control, and down the line. In today's gospel, we hear about a gardener, actually farmer, who has knocked it out of the park this year. Sounds like the farmer was not only blessed with a year of optimal sun and rain, but he probably worked his tail off to apply all the best practices to his land. And result, bumper crop. So he has got a question to answer. What is he going to do with all this food he did not expect? God has granted him so much that his current barn is inadequate to store it all. Eureka, he's got a brainstorm. He decides he is going to tear down all his current barns, start from scratch. He will build bigger, shinier, fancier barns to store his incredible haul. Furthermore, he shifts not only his storage strategy, but his lifestyle strategy. His new focus? Himself. Verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. You deserve to relax, to eat and drink and be merry. What happens then? The plot thickens as God shares a game-changing twist. Amid all his wonderful plans, that very night will be the last night of that man's life. So God calls him a fool. Can you hear Aretha Franklin's Chain of Fools playing just a little bit in the background right now? World history has seen a long chain of fools, and he is one of them, according not to a jury of his peers, but to the Lord God Almighty. What makes him foolish? He's not foolish because he's maximized production. God's kingdom needs smart people. He's not foolish because he's rich. God's kingdom needs people with resources willing to share. He's not foolish because he's thinking about the future a little bit. We remember the story of Joseph strategically saving grain amid 7 years of plenty, so Egypt would prevail in the 7 years of famine. All of us have been taught to save for our kids' education and our own retirements. It's more akin to the gospel 2 weeks ago. Remember Mary and Martha? And Martha is all upset, and Jesus doesn't really back Martha up, because why? There's nothing wrong at all with Martha fixing Jesus a nice dinner. That's awesome. The trouble was that in the task, she lost sight of what was truly important. She got worried. She got distracted, as Jesus says. Same here. Nothing wrong with a thriving business and bumper crops, but there is a risk. You can get distracted from life's true God-given assignment. Yes, what seems to doom the man as a fool is his exclusive me, myself, and I focus. All he speaks of in his planning is his crops, his land, his barns, his soul, his ability to eat and drink. God never hears him contemplate taking some of the unexpected surplus down to the local food pantry. God never witnesses him considering leveraging a portion of the bounty into programs that could lift up the needy from poverty. Now, undoubtedly, we Lutherans, we are all in. What do we say? Salvation by Jesus' grace, not our works. But yet, each of us hopes, at the end of it all, that we would have led journeys worthy of a life well-lived reputation, right? As we get to say for our sister in Christ, Hope Dunlap, who passed away this week. Don't each of us strive to live lives so that when all is said and done, the Lord will be able to welcome us home with that great greeting, well done, good and faithful servant. Instead, God calls this man a fool because his life is being evaluated that very night. And even though this man was granted a jackpot in terms of material abundance, there is no evidence of gratitude to God. There is no evidence of a spirit of sharing or community building. There is no evidence that he understands a meaningful life requires more than just continual consumption. In terms of building bigger barns, sort of interesting to think of the size of our own barns or homes, right? Over the last 100 years, would you say the size of an average American home has gone up or down? Up, right? Here you see, in 1910, the typical family size was 4.5 people, right? And they shared 1,400 square feet. Today, our families are down to 2.6 people spread out over 2,400 square feet. Last year, the median size of a new home shot up by 14%. That was last year alone. Our homes are so large these days that sometimes we will actually text each other instead of walking over to each other to talk face to face. If I won't ask for a show of hands, whoever has tried that in your home. Well, why? Because one of you is in the furnished basement and the other person is up on the third floor. We are not saying here today that we should feel guilty to enjoy a nice home. No. But our gospel reminds us, it's sort of a warning, that larger barns don't guarantee larger lives. Square footage is on the rise, but so is loneliness with more space in between us. Tonight, your soul is required of you. That is quite a line, isn't it? That my soul, my life, my identity is and will be required. The prophet Micah rings out this foundational request. You remember from Micah chapter 6. What does the Lord require of you? On Facebook, I saw this version of it. who know Micah, you understand the answer. Hey, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. But this version added, and just a little bit more cowbell is required. If, for some of you who are familiar with the Saturday Night Live comedic reference, obviously not everyone is in this crew this morning. But is that what Jesus requires? Just a little fun along the journey with him, making music. What is required of us? Bigger barns? No. God says that is a focus of foolishness. Joy and life are about doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with God. Now, this is a good pivot point to move from our gospel text to our first lesson. And I've got a story for you. But first, let me just ring a little bit of a cowbell FYI piece of information. And it is all good news. Our council meeting on Monday, we recognize, because to everything there is a season, that, holy cow, there are about 15 to 17 family units who are moving into the next season that God has in store for them. They have either passed away to the Lord or have moved or are moving away to a new job or retirement or to be closer to the grandkids. And we praise God for them. But we also talked at council that as we ended our fiscal ministry year, June 30, that our offerings, which had been doing pretty well for most of the year, actually came in significantly below anticipated. And so this is just a chance to say thanks once again to all our givers. It is a chance to look at the economy the last couple of years and say, wow, thank you, God, for filling our barns with abundance. Each school year, right, groups come back together and they realize, wow, some key seniors, they're not here anymore. And now it's time for the sophomores and juniors to sort of rise up. And the good news is God has blessed us with new faces. And maybe it's a time for all of us for prayerful discernment as we say goodbye to 15 generous families about how we can play our part to make sure that God's barn here at COS, so to speak, is adequately resourced through our weekly offerings. And who knows, maybe this is the year we would be involved with the Apple Tree Society. You at COS, you're amazing how you take care of kids. We are going to do lunches, again, for kids. We've got school supplies in backpacks for kids. We've got scholarships for 3 kids in Haiti. We've got love kits going to our college kids. We've got backpack blessings for our little ones. Equally important, let's resource the annual budget here at COS where our kids can be taught the most important lessons of Jesus' love and design for them. All right. Next story. A few years back, a man was at a flea market in Adamstown, PA, when he decided to buy an old painting for $4. The painting was torn just a bit, was dismal, country scene, but for $4, he was willing to buy it, especially in hopes that he could restore the frame. At home, he removed the old painting, and he discovered hidden in the backing a folded document the size of a business letter. And as he unfolded it, he started to recognize what it might be, a version of the Declaration of Independence. Upon appraisal, it was determined this was one of only 24 known copies printed by John Dunlap on July 4, 1776, as, quote, an unspeakably fresh copy. The $4 bargain was auctioned for $2.4 million at Sotheby's to a buyer who lived in Atlanta, Georgia. Let me suggest this morning that St. Paul argues in his letter to the Colossians that we should not live unattractive, dismal lives like that old beat-up painting. Instead, we can be the masterpiece. Because through our baptism, Christ lives in each one of us, transforming us into treasures. We can be declarations of the pursuit of happiness, yes, but also interdependence, joy, life, and grace. This is the Message version of the Bible, and Paul argues there's a way that we just retain our old school clothes and we come off looking like that ready for garage sale type people. Let's read these two lines together. If we doing what please go back.
Sorry.
All right. Doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like, grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. But Paul gives us a warning. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of God. And it's because of this kind of behavior that God is ready to explode in anger. But there's a chance here. Next slide. The old clothes he defines as bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk, lying in our first lesson. But Paul says, you're done with the old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off. You've put those into the fire. Next slide. There is great news that with Christ, we can instead be the $2.4 million versions of ourselves. When he says this, now you are dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Wouldn't that be great to have framed as you walked into your closet? And listen to this. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Does that mean that on your school bus or in the new room, everywhere you go, you don't have to face adversaries? You can face friends in Christ. Attitude determines altitude. What is yours this new school year? Are you a farmer who wants to keep it all for yourself and go it alone? Or do you see yourself as part of a masterpiece where everyone is included in Christ? With that attitude, you look unspeakably fresh with your discipleship duds. So let's read what St. Paul defines about how we can suit up, dress up. Here we go, together. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. In Jesus' name, amen.